this invitation for the opportunity to speak on this particular subject that we have. I appreciate the elders being interested in providing this as a means of feeding the flock on a subject that sometimes can get people confused in their minds about God's work and how He wanted it to be accomplished, even to the point of leading their thinking processes astray from the truth of God's Word in the subject of the Holy Spirit. It is really an honor to be able to participate in what elders are trying to do for a congregation to help build it up and to be a part of that special. It means a lot to me, especially. It's a delight to study with people that are interested in studying the Bible, who are serious about the Bible. A Christian has a life that is a serious life, but it is also a life that in its seriousness gives us this subtle delight of the confidence we know that God is with us and working with us as we serve Him. Is your interest in looking in God's Word and studying with me and following along in the Bible, this is going to help me a lot. You are going to be one of the most important components here. I can direct you to the Bible, but if you don't open the Bible and look at it with me, you're going to miss something. So I encourage you to open the Bible with me as we study through. We're going to be looking at a lot of various things. We're going to be looking at some material that I would call, from the very beginning, I'll tell you, is very tedious material. So you need to pay close attention to a lot of the things we're looking at. I want to make it as simple as possible, but I want us to also pay attention closely so that we don't miss what we're studying in God's Word. As we study this topic of the Holy Spirit, I want us to be able to get an overall picture of what the Bible says about it. There are a lot of details that I know I will not be able to cover because there are some things I don't know about the Holy Spirit. Partly because the Holy Spirit is in that realm with the Father and the Son on, I would call it, that side of the fence in our relationship. They are in the realm of deity. They are in the realm and do their work as God. And so I can't know all those kinds of things on their side of the work. But He has revealed, Holy Spirit has revealed, the Father and the Son together put together that on our side of responsibility that we are accountable for. And that's what I want to work on. That's what I want us to study and go through are the things that He has given to us and expects us to plow through and look at those things and learn from them and then gain a knowledge about Him through that. So that's what we're going to deal with. And if you have any questions during the week, please save those questions for after our gathering here, and we'll look at those questions. I might have opportunity to answer them sometime during the week. If I'm going along preaching, don't raise your hand because I'm not going to acknowledge you. If I break my chain of thought, I might as well sit down. I may lose it all and have to start all over again. I don't work quite that well, but I would like to look at your questions. And then we can talk about them. I am especially want to encourage the young people to be attentive. I know you have classes, and some of them are out in those classes at this time. But I have a tremendous respect for the minds of young people, especially the older I get and think about how my mind doesn't work as well. That young people's minds work sometimes overtime in things that they shouldn't. But I've also seen the power of the young mind to be able to absorb truth if their interest is in the right direction. And I long for those days to be that way. But young people can gain a lot from this study. It is not something that I believe is going to be over the heads of everyone or even the young people at this in our study throughout the week. So I want us to introduce the subject this morning during the time we have on the Holy Spirit. And I've entitled it The Holy Spirit Today because ultimately in our study throughout the week, things are going to be studied about the Holy Spirit, how He worked in the Bible times, in the record we have, but how that translates into our association with the Holy Spirit today in daily life. And beyond that, that is our relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son, how we could extend that connection with the troubled areas where we get questions asked of us by our friends in regard to the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works. There's a lot of fantastic tales that people can tell that they say are the work of the Holy Spirit? How do you answer them? How do you resolve in your own mind how to think about those things? And hopefully we'll deal with those things to help us today. And that's why I called it the Holy Spirit today. We're going to begin with this introduction, as I mentioned here, and look kind of like an outline of what we're going to be studying, but also consider some of the most important things that will be the focus of the entire study. I want us to look at some questions here for just a little bit that bring attention to the reasons why we're studying this topic of the Holy Spirit. First of all, here's the question: is the Holy Spirit a being or simply a force or power? And before you say in your own mind, well, I already know that answer, there are a lot of people that don't know that. In fact, there are whole religions that are created around a concept that deal with this question. Is he a power or is he a force? An inanimate object or an animated personality? So this is a question we're going to deal with. How did the Holy Spirit work in Bible times? Sometimes there's a difficulty in simply going through the Bible and reading about the work of the Holy Spirit and figuring out what he is doing. How did he actually work? What does this mean here in this text when he did this? And sometimes, because there is that lack of understanding of a coherent concept and work of the Holy Spirit, people will take pieces out and take those pieces and run with them and create a concept that is inconsistent with the rest of the New Testament. And so that question, how did the Holy Spirit work in Bible times? How does the Holy Spirit work today? And this, as I mentioned a while ago, we from time to time are confronted by that. Our friends will talk about things that their preacher or this rally or this particular gathering talked about. The Holy Spirit did this and did that and performed this and really get caught up in excitement about that. How does he work today? And we want to be able to both answer the questions they ask us and settle in our own minds how the Holy Spirit works. That's one of the questions that bring about this study. Are there miracles today, such as tongue speaking and healing, etc.? The word miracle is thrown around quite freely today around us. Oh, this is a miracle. Everything begins to be called a miracle that is unusual. And in a later lesson toward the latter part of the week, the middle of the week, we'll look at this idea of really what is a miracle and what is not. But the claims that are made for tongue speaking and healing, what about that? What about that power that they claim, that people claim to have? How do miracles today compare with Bible times? You know, if we're going to call something by a biblical idea or name, we need to be sure that it is like what the Bible says it is. And some people are calling things miracles, and we need to go to the Bible and see, is it really a miracle? Does it match up with that which is in the Bible? And we'll pursue that and see how they compare the so-called miracles of today. How is the Holy Spirit involved in a sinner's salvation? And this, of course, should be the most important thought that people would want to resolve in their mind, more so than the idea of miracles. The idea of speaking in tongues, people ought to be concerned about hereafter, the eternal salvation that we have. But how does the Holy Spirit play a part in that? How did it play a part in it in the Bible times, which is really our main focus area because the Bible will be right. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? This is used a lot by different religions, And I think the way it is often used is just thrown out there as if you see the word Spirit, then that's baptism of the Holy Spirit. Anytime you see the word baptism, some will say, well, that's baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is a concept that there is a great fascination for by religions. And their fascination causes them to create and imagine things that the Holy Spirit does, and then they follow through with it as if it were a doctrine. But we want to see what the Bible says about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is the gift of the Spirit? Acts 2:38. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you and to your children, to those who are far off, as many as the Lord shall call. Verse 39. What is that gift? This is a source of discussion among members of the Church of Christ. We'll look at that and try to find an answer on that. Does the Holy Spirit literally and personally indwell a person? Is there a personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit? We'll look at that. In fact, tonight is our lesson on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Again, this is one of the areas where there is a difference of thought among members of the church on this matter. And I want us to look at the Bible and see what I believe is the most sensible and reasonable way to look at this concept of indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Just what does the Holy Spirit guide us apart from the Bible? This is what many in the religious world around us claim. In fact, a lot of times the evidence of that is how little Bible they know, but yet how religious they are. And they are guided by the Holy Spirit, they claim. And if you were to talk to them about what the Bible says about, well, really any kind of topic, not just the Holy Spirit, then as you talk to them, you realize they really don't know what the Bible says, which leads you to believe they don't know how they would know that the Bible is telling them what to do to live their daily lives. So what is telling them what they do for their daily living? And a lot of them will make a claim that the Holy Spirit is guiding them apart from the Bible. But is that true? Is that a question there that we need to consider, that there is a distinct action of the Holy Spirit other than what we find in the Scriptures? And what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? We're going to look at a lot of other things, too, that would be brought into this. But I think you can see from these questions, we touch a lot of nerves in a lot of places, a lot of relationships, not just in the church, but also we see it in relation to our friends, our neighbors, those in the religious world around us, especially in a country where religious freedom allows people to say whatever they want to say. Well, that's good that we can open our mouths and speak, but it also lets out a lot of things that are confusing, and we don't need to be confused. We need to know what the Bible has to say. But I do know this. The only right answer will come from the Bible. The only right answer, not human interpretations of ideas, and not from emotional experiences, especially when we're dealing with the subject of the Holy Spirit. A lot of things are emotionally defined, not scripturally defined. And how the Holy Spirit will work is emotionally determined, not how it's scripturally determined. And so we're going to use the Bible because it has the right answers. There are probably thousands of books, no doubt thousands of books, that have been written on the Holy Spirit by various people, men and women. And they will use the Bible as a part of their thesis as they present or prepare their material. But the Bible is going to have the right answer, and it should be the primary book we would ever consider in this subject. The content of our study, one of the greatest difficulties I have found on a discussion of the Holy Spirit with someone is to get them to commit to a block of time to study it. It takes time to understand about the Holy Spirit. Someone will ask you, well, do you think the Holy Spirit performs miracles today? Well, that takes about, what did it take, about 3 seconds to say that? But they'll only want to spend 3 seconds for an answer. It takes time to go through the Bible and see how the Holy Spirit was a part of God's plan. And it's hard to find people who are willing to do that. They will want to say, no, I want this quick answer. And in fact, if they really had the Holy Spirit with them already, they didn't need to ask the question. The Holy Spirit should have already given them the answer. But to find the right answer, it takes a serious amount of time of study. And what we'll do this week is scratching the surface on the amount of time it takes to look at this. But we're going to look at things that will be very helpful. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is as much involved in the salvation of mankind as is the Father and the Son. If we think of the Holy Spirit in a way we don't understand, but, oh yes, the Father and Son, we understand and accept that in His role, that the Holy Spirit is right there with them. So if we begin to bring Him into the picture with the Father and the Son as we think of salvation, then we can see and understand more about His role as far as the salvation of mankind is concerned. We need to try to understand the Holy Spirit from the standpoint of intellectual understanding. Not look at it from the standpoint of this is a superstitious, mystical concept and topic. How are we going to study it? I think we need to just go at it and investigate what the Bible says. I want to appeal to your intellect. I'm not going to appeal to your emotions. Whenever people see the word Holy Spirit in some religious services, they are expecting a time of noise and excitement and all kinds of things to go on that really take just about that much intellect to be able to get stirred up. But I'm not going that route. I want to appeal to your intelligence, the intellect. Because understanding what faith is a result of intellect, intellectual study. We gain information from God's Word. True faith comes from understanding with our minds what the Bible says. And when we see the evidence as our intellect absorbs that, then we create faith and confidence in the things which we see. And from that, we get emotional at times. But watch the order here. We exercise our intellect by studying, by cross-examining, getting a concordance out, and doing our research. We gain the information. We see God's plan. We put trust in it that He is giving us the truth. And we establish faith, and our emotions are stirred because we have a God who cares. We got to have a God of promise. And He can give us what we want and long for. But the religious world looks at it this way. Let us get everybody emotional. And in that emotional movement, nudge them in the direction to feel good. And when they're convinced of how good they feel because of the experience they had, then they must have faith. So their faith comes from emotion. I believe emotion needs to come from our faith. But many believe that emotion comes first. And I'm not going to appeal to you that way. I want to take the Bible. It's Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My faith has to first come from hearing the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul made the statement as he wrote the letter to the Ephesians. He said, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And that knowledge of the mystery of Christ had to do with the plan of salvation. And if you read through the context there, how that God had revealed His mystery of how He's going to save the world, Jews and Gentiles alike, previously had been kept silent, but now has been revealed. And when you read it, and when it comes to the matter of understanding what we read depends upon our comprehension of what we read, and our comprehension depends upon intellect. Intellect. Not emotions, but intellect. If I cannot explain the Holy Spirit from God's Word, I cannot explain the Holy Spirit. If I have to resort to trying to move people in my direction of human thought, then I'm not explaining the Holy Spirit. I'm explaining how I feel about Him, but I'm not explaining the Holy Spirit. If I must appeal to the emotions and forsake the teachings that we draw from it, I'm not teaching the Word of God. I'm a failure as a gospel preacher as far as that goes. If I appeal to the emotion rather than the truth first. In 2 John 9, John records here and makes it quite clear, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. If I reach out here into some emotional context, I'm out beyond the doctrine of Christ. But if I stay within the doctrine of Christ, I have both the Father and the Son, then I'm doing my work as a preacher. You're doing your work as a Bible student, as a child of God, when you exercise your intellect. So I'm going to appeal from that avenue of intellect. Here's what we're going to be looking at, and no doubt you've seen it in the advertisement for the meeting and maybe seen the list already. But we're going to cover in the topic of study this morning in our worship service time after this, the Holy Spirit, who or what. That will be the primary thought. This evening, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. On Monday evening, we'll look at the Holy Spirit and the Bible. What connection there was between the Holy Spirit and the Bible, how He worked in relation to the Bible, what He did to produce the Bible, or what was all involved in bringing that about. And then we're going to look at, on Tuesday night, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. On Wednesday night, we'll look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in this particular lesson, we'll talk about miracles. Specifically, not go into a lot of definition of what miracles are, or the Bible miracles are. What did it mean, tongue speaking, or what did it mean, gifts of faith and gifts? We're not going to look at the definition of those things. We're just going to look at the facts of them and talk about them for a little bit, especially focusing in on the example of faith healing or miracles of health, you know, where health's improved by faith healing. and look at that and examine that. Because I think once we deal with something like that, then using the same principles in dealing with that will also work to apply to other parts of so-called miracles of our modern time, tongue speaking and maybe some other things that some have come up with. And then on Thursday night, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit and salvation. How does the Holy Spirit perform or work in our commitment to obey God and be saved? Where does he fall in that picture of our transition from being a sinner to a saved person, a forgiven person? We'll spend time on how the Holy Spirit performs in that realm. And then the last one is, that which is perfect is here. It'll deal with 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the chapter on love, which itemizes the characteristics of love, how love acts, the various things love is and love is not, and so forth. But it goes on down and talks about when that which is in part, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And he's making reference to the miraculous powers that people have. And we want to talk about what is the perfect? And what is this thing about the timing and the when, and when that's in part be done away, when the perfect, what is the perfect? And there's some confusion about that, misunderstandings. We'll end our series by looking at that. And that will be what we study. Kind of simple, isn't it? Not much to that, is there? No, there'll be a lot to that. And a lot of it, like I said, will be very serious Bible study. I'm not interested in entertaining you with thoughts and ideas. I think there's a time for lessons that can move our thinking to commit our souls to certain matters as far as what is our attitude and things like that. But this lesson is not geared for that. But it will be geared for things that once you have a stable understanding of something as foundation, fundamental as the Holy Spirit, give you that sense of confidence about what God's Word is and how it works and how God works, and then you look at the rest of your life and application of Scriptures, it will be helpful to that extent. Now, our goal this week is to show that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. We will see that although the gospel has always been the power of God to salvation since the very beginning of the preaching of the gospel, it has not always been given in the same way. In other words, as we look in the first century, those preachers that preached the word and wrote the word, those teachers were given certain power miraculously to reveal the truth and confirm that truth. We'll talk about revelation and confirmation in our study sometime in another lesson. And this was through an inspired act of God. It was something that gave them the truth, but their product was the gospel of salvation. Today, in our 20th century, 21st century, we have a completely revealed and confirmed word that has been brought about by the efforts of these inspired men, by miraculous powers, and produced a product that is now finished. But the result of that was the same thing. The gospel is still the power of God's salvation. And when we picture in our minds what is our main purpose on earth, it is to go to heaven. What will it take to be saved? That's really what our life is all about if we want to go to heaven. Back here, the only difference is the way in which that gospel was delivered. But it was the gospel ultimately that would change a person. And it's the same that was preached on the day of Pentecost and thereafter as we are to preach today. So the emphasis is shifted in our minds, or should be shifted in our minds. What's the most important thing? The most important thing is this right here. What about miracles and all of those wonders and things like that that people claim we need to have today to make it work? Well, if those are so much a focal point, then you're taking away with what God said will save us. Well, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. So this is what we want to keep in mind as the overall picture throughout the week. I want to invite you to study with me and very carefully those things.